Chapter 1977, My Banner Day. Go Senators. The game. Texas Rangers 2, Baltimore Orioles 1 in 10 innings at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. Attendance 31,307. Thursday, April 7, 1977. The weather, sunny, windy, and cool. Hall of Famers, Orioles manager Earl Weaver, pitcher Jim Palmer, designated hitter Eddie Murray, and third baseman Brooks Robinson, Texas Rangers pitcher Burt Blyleven. Game highlights. Imagine this in the 21st century. Two Hall of Fame pitchers squaring off on opening day, and both throw 10-inning complete games in just 2 hours and 34 minutes. Unheard of! Although Major League Baseball did not start keeping pitch counts as an official statistic until 11 years later, chances are that on opening day 1977, both Baltimore's Jim Palmer and Burt Blyleven of Texas well exceeded the 100-pitch checkpoint the game would embrace decades later, as arms became less durable and more expensive. During his 19-year career, Palmer was Baltimore's opening day starter a team record 6 times, and this was the only one he lost. Rangers rookie Bump Wills singled home Juan Beniquez in the top of the 10th inning. Beniquez had reached on a double when Orioles rookie center fielder Larry Harlow misjudged a fly ball. For the Orioles, this game would mark the major league debut of 21-year-old rookie Eddie Murray, and the first opening day in a generation without Brooks Robinson in the starting lineup. The story. By the spring of 1977, our treks to Baltimore entered a new phase. I had a driver's license. Roundy handed me the keys for the cruise up Interstate 95 in our 1974 Pontiac Granville convertible. It was too cold to put the top down, but that didn't seem to matter. My loyalty to the Texas Rangers, nee Washington Senators, remained unwavering. I couldn't wait to get my hands on each week's issue of the Sporting News, a weekly tabloid with heavy emphasis on baseball, so I could clip every Rangers box score and tape them into a special binder. This was my way of keeping track of a team I could neither watch on TV nor listen to on the radio. Roundy and I had visited Memorial Stadium more than once over the past few summers to see my Texas Rangers. This year, the Rangers were the opponent on opening day. I needed something special to mark the occasion. The dictionary says a banner day is a term used to, quote, describe the kind of excellent day or occurrence that deserves a banner hung in a prominent place, as if to mark a celebratory occasion. In the 1970s, it was common to see large homemade banners in the ballpark before they were banned for aesthetic reasons. During that infamous Senators finale at RFK Stadium in September 1971, banners were everywhere. Some bid fond farewells to the team, while others eviscerated owner Bob Short for stealing our team. When Roundy and I made the trip to Super Bowl VII in January 1973, I felt I had to make a banner. A bold statement as our team prepared to face the undefeated Miami Dolphins in Los Angeles. After all, how many other 12-year-olds had saved up enough money from their newspaper routes to make such a cross-country trip? I remember laying out an old bedsheet on the basement floor, cutting it in half down the middle so I could sew together a single white scroll roughly 3 feet by 12 feet. I would carefully lay out newspapers so the black paint wouldn't stain the black and white checkerboard tile flooring. We arrived early to the Coliseum on Super Bowl Sunday so I could carefully affix my clever all-caps banner to a fence near our seats in the corner of the end zone for all to see. Redskins eat fish on Sundays! Exclamation point. It was unlikely many saw it, other than the few hundred fans in our section. Those who did nodded politely, grasping the word play perhaps familiar to Catholics who ate fish on Fridays. I tried again 3 years later, this time at the 1976 Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Philadelphia. To get picked up on television, there were two requirements: hang it in a more prominent place and give a shout out to the network televising the game. With an usher's permission, I hung it right above center field. Then, after climbing to my single seat high above first base, I would clearly see in the distance my tribute to the only former Washington Senator in the All-Star game, Texas Rangers shortstop Toby Hera. It read, "Washington Senators Fan Club, go Toby!" Exclamation point. Hi, Warner. A reference to DC sportscasting legend Warner Wolf, now with ABC. By the third inning, all dozen or so banners in center field had been removed. I stormed over and confronted the usher who earlier had given the approval. He explained the boss wanted them all down, that management didn't want the stadium looking cluttered on national television. Outraged, I wrote a letter to Sports Illustrated. They did not publish it. This banner crusade of mine deserved one more try, perhaps without the glare of national television cameras. Opening day 1977 provided the opportunity. The message needed to be concise and more mature. After all, I was now 16. More direct. A bold statement to encourage my team. Just as we had done more than 4 years earlier in Los Angeles, we arrived early on this sunny, windy afternoon, armed with appropriate supplies to affix the banner for all to see. This time, we weren't stuck away in some obscure corner. Roundy got his tickets on the mezzanine level, above first base, in the front row. Upon arrival, I carefully climbed over the railing onto the photo deck directly in front. As I'm writing this, I'm wondering how similar actions would have been handled decades later. How quickly would stadium security escort me from the building? But not in 1977. The Rangers roster still included a few holdovers from that final Senators season 6 years earlier: Tom Grieve, Toby Hera, and Bill Fahey. I was sure each would appreciate the banner's message when they saw it. Go Senators! Exclamation point. I can't say for certain if any of the three former Senators took notice, but I know others saw it. A whole lot of others. Imagine my shock the next afternoon when I opened DC's evening newspaper, the Washington Star. Right there on the front page of the sports section, directly below superstar columnist David Israel's piece on Jim Palmer and the Orioles, but still above the fold, was a larger-than-life photograph of my banner. Quote, "Not everybody at yesterday's Baltimore, Texas baseball opener at Memorial Stadium was an Orioles fan," the photo caption read. "There was some visible support for the Rangers, formerly the Washington Senators, before their move to Arlington, Texas, following the end of the 1971 season. The Rangers won 2-1, beating Orioles ace Jim Palmer in the process." Unquote. I was famous. For the box score, play-by-play, and a picture of the front page of that evening star, visit openingday5050.com.